heard this morning that Delilah must release Samson so that he can come and move this pillar for us here.
Mm.
For the moment, we have to be content with that. To the members of SA Tourism, Mr. Chona, and particularly honorable members, I need to say to you that we have a new chairperson of the board of SA Tourism. Minister wrote it to us, he wrote to us on the 23rd of August to inform us about the appointment of Madame Pamela Bulelwa Yako as the new chairperson of the board. There she is, sitting second person in this role. Madame, we want to say to you that we are grateful that we have the opportunity to work with you in your appointment as chairperson of the board. We trust that you accept. We also want to use this occasion to check, to thank the previous chairperson for the commendable work that she has done on the board in terms of good governance. We have to alternate the chairperson of the board, so there was nothing wrong with the previous chairperson tonight when he became necessary. We have a big delegation from the Department of Tourism, led by the Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Shona. We also have members from the Department of Tourism. I don't see all of them yet. We know them. But there are at least two of them there. We also have an apology from the Minister and the Deputy Minister. And honourable members, my take on it is that if it is an entity of the department, as long as the board chair and the CEO is here, we are happy with that. We don't need the Minister or Deputy Ministers or all of them. If they could be, it's good. But we're engaging with an entity. We also have apologies from the Honourable Michalakis and an apology from the Honourable Mate Vula. The Honourable Princess is busy in a meeting looking at our interests with the Honourable Togo of the National Assembly. And she will join us as soon as that meeting is over. They're scheduling a meeting for 12 o'clock today and they're just working on the details.
Also, the camera is related to Martha's birthday because the president of Francis.
Yeah, you know, she's officially now also a member of Contralesa. We want to put before you the agenda that we'll have the presentation from SA Tourism, and then we'll do the minutes of the last meeting. Maybe, if you will allow me, I'll do the second letter to you now. The second letter that we received from the Minister is where they're inviting it to us to World Tourism Day. And World Tourism Day this year is being held in Dhaka. There's 3 days, the 18th, the 26th, and the 27th. Now, with your permission, Honourable Mahwebu, there's this tourism, World Tourism Day celebration in Mthatha. The 18th, the 26th, and the 27th. And we think it would be cost-effective if we can get, if we can request you, an Honourable Khaya, to consider representing us. The 18th will be a public lecture at the Walter Sisulu University. The 26th will be just an embassy's dinner, leading to the 27th, because the 27th is actually the day of the celebrations, and that will be at Luchaba Nature Reserve in Mthatha. So you can take your spouse with you. We know you only have one. And then spend the day with the department and other tourism industry players in the Luchaba Nature Reserve. We will give you an opportunity to think through that and then revert to the Department of Access of Correspondence. And it's part of the agenda stuff. So we've dealt with that. Then I have an announcement to make. We'll deal with it at the right time about our committee meeting for next week, where we are engaging with the Department of International Relations and Cooperation. Okay, that's the agenda. Can I then ask the members to introduce ourselves? My name to the delegation from SA Tourism, the people from National Department of Tourism should know me already. I'm Eddie Makwe, and I represent the province of Gauteng.
My name is Jason Setra, I'm representing the province of KwaZulu-Natal. I'm also a member of this committee.
Good morning, my name is Willem Faber, and I represent the Northern Cape, biggest province in our country. Should be the best tourism province in the country. We're working on that.
Good morning, colleagues. My name is Vusi Magwebo. I'm from the Eastern Cape. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. We're Martin Taylor from the Northwest.
CEO, can we ask you to introduce your delegation, please?
Thank you, Honourable Members. Thank you, Chair. May I just ask the, our chairman just to say a thing or two, and then I'll take it up from there and introduce the team.
Honourable Members, good morning. Well, my name is Pamela Yako. I am recently appointed Chair of the Tourism Advisory Board, and I have a previous life of working in the Department of then Environment and Tourism. And I'm looking forward to working with the committee.
Thank you very much, Chair. Also, a pleasure coming through to the Select Committee. It's been a while, so thank you very much. I think today we're particularly excited that we're just going to spend some time to talk about domestic tourism. And this is a joint presentation between the agency, South African Tourism, and also the department as well. So we've got a team on both sides, hopefully to give you a view as to where we are at, some of the challenges that are there, and then to solicit support from honourable members as well in certain areas from that perspective. So we're quite excited in this regard. With me today, I've decided to dump the old stock, and that I'll usually come with here. There's no CFO, there's no COO. I've dumped them back at the office, but I brought in a younger crowd, Chairman. It really is part of our succession planning exposure and to really show the committee that there's depth in South African tourism. And so to my left, I'd like to introduce Mashoto Zimba. Mashoto is the head of domestic, so she doesn't sleep at night making sure that domestic actually ticks. So it's really good exposure for her and for you as well to know every time you see something around domestic, it really comes from her and her team from that perspective. Supporting Mashoto is Batando Similani, and she's our insight specialist on domestic. So essentially to get all those granular information and detail that actually inform what it is we do in the market and everything else from that perspective as well. So I think I'll welcome them both. They are slightly a bit nervous, but I told them that this Select Committee is really a happy place to be at. If I may then, I'm going to allow Maylene just to kind of talk and introduce her team. We're going to split the presentation really into two. We'll start off with the department side, a couple of slides there, and then I'll hand over to the team to take from that side. And of course, as always, we look forward to the questions and interactions that result from there. Thank you.
Thank you, Sisa. Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Maylene Broderick. I am relatively new to the department, but this morning I'm here. I'd like to render an apology first for DDG Mronga Rampela, who is off sick until the end of the month, and I'm standing in then for her. I'm also the Chief Director of Enterprise Development and Transformation, responsible for responsible tourism, domestic tourism, enterprise development and transformation. And I'll be leading the department as part of the presentation, but I'll also ask my colleagues who are here with me from the department to also introduce themselves. Thank you, Chair.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Thulani Sibebo. I'm in the Department of Tourism, responsible for domestic tourism. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Rosie Mukosi, and I'm from the National Department of Tourism, and I work in domestic tourism. Thank you.
Thank you.
We also have with us our support staff in the select committee, our secretary, our researcher, personal assistants, and our logistics officers. But it's important for you to know as well that we have informants in the meeting. So you have to know that what you say will be recorded and it will be transcribed by the Parliamentary Monitoring Group. That's back. But then from the Department of Tourism side, we also have Melanie, whom we all know, and Pietra.
Good morning. My name is Armstrong Mangani. I'm the Deputy Director responsible for entity oversight at the Department of Tourism. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Princess, we didn't give your name. We've just been talking about Princess and received your apology that you will be late. Do you also want to introduce yourself, please?
Good morning to everybody, and thank you, Chairperson. I am Masafa Godihale. I'm representing Limpopo Province. Maybe people will want to know why is the Chairperson calling me Princess. It's because my husband is the leader of Limpopo. You cannot go to Limpopo and to approach any other traditional leader before you start asking his permission. That's why. Thank you very much.
Over to the SA Tourism.
Thank you, Chair. I think we've got the presentation up there, and I trust it has been circulated. So I'm just going to go on to the second slide, which is the presentation outline. We will start giving you a background as to domestic tourism, the strategic framework, the revision that was done in 2016-17. Out of that revision came a decided focus on domestic tourism, and hence the colleagues are here from domestic tourism. And then the structures we put in place so that we work in an integrated fashion from local government level up to ourselves. So the purpose of our presentation, as you know, is to present a progress report on the interventions that we are implementing in conjunction with SAT to stimulate domestic tourism. These slides, Chair, I'm sure you've seen before, so I'm not necessarily going to go into the details because they do represent 2014 statistics, but suffice to say, if I look at both of them, we are experiencing and continue to experience a decline in domestic tourism. We had a presentation last week by Statistics South Africa, which indicated that we, again, year on year, have seen a decrease in domestic tourism this year. And we'll speak to some of that, and SAT will speak specifically in how they're responding to that. The strategic framework around how we do what we do, we have the National Tourism Sector Strategy, which has its pillars, and out of that came the Domestic Tourism Growth Strategy and the review, as I've indicated, in 2016-17. And the objective is to create a robust domestic tourism economy by 2030, and this is to be achieved by making affordable and compelling tourism experiences accessible to our domestic tourism market. In response to the revision document, a new structure has been put in place in the department, and we have a dedicated domestic tourism unit. The pillars in the NTSS are effective marketing, which is really the purview of SAT, and I'll get into that, facilitating ease of access, the visit experience, destination management, and then of course broad-based benefits which cut across all the other pillars. Key for us on the focus is to stimulate domestic tourism, which is one of the key performance indicators in the APP, but I'm not necessarily going to get into that specifically, but just to give you an indication that it is a major focus area for the department. Into the background then, the domestic tourism growth strategy was put into place, and it had a time frame of 2012 to 2020, aligned to the national tourism sector strategy. The DTDS was compiled with due consideration to global and domestic context, as well as keeping the priorities of the national tourism sector strategy. Through the strategy, we then hope to increase tourism awareness and its value to our country, as well as increase levels of community participation in the tourism sector. This slide, Chair and Honourable Members, is just giving you details around how we intend to create greater value for travel and tourism in South Africa. As you know, the sector has a very dedicated focus to inbound tourists, but in order to transform the sector, and just last week we were at the Portfolio Committee, we have done a tourism transformation baseline study, and the picture is not a very good picture. And perhaps at a later stage, the committee might want to have a look at that study, and I think Petra can make that available, but it's not a good picture. And we see one of the key ways to transform the sector is to enhance domestic tourism. So the implementation of the strategy seeks to direct a consolidated and integrated approach to addressing the challenges of domestic spread, which speaks to, I think, one of the Honourable Members, Northern Cape, will be our focus for next year, seasonality, and offer opportunities for enhanced levels of domestic tourism. We do so by unlocking previously neglected growth points, like school-based tourism, targeting various community initiatives, like Stockwell, religious tourism, and sports tourism. The strategy goes further to outline practical mechanisms to address the lack of tourism culture amongst South Africans, particularly within our previously disadvantaged communities. The revision which took place then also changed the timelines, and we commenced with that revision in conjunction with SA Tourism, and we intend to achieve this through education awareness across the country, as well as promoting affordable and accessible travel and domestic tourism opportunities. Under the DTDS, the Department and SA Tourism seek to implement programs and projects aimed at benefiting local communities, prioritize campaigns that target both the lower and higher end of the domestic market, create a holiday culture among previously disadvantaged groups, and extend visits to friends and relatives into tourism leisure and the domestic leisure market at all points. The rationale for the revision was due to an over-reliance, as I've already previously indicated, on inbound tourism, and we're still experiencing lackluster performance in the domestic tourism market, and the need to, as I indicated earlier as well, Chair, to transform the sector. The sector is significantly untransformed. The Minister then instructed that a review must be done, and this was done in conjunction with SA Tourism and ourselves. We also consulted the tourism value chain stakeholders so that their views were solicited and considered into the revision document. A think tank session was held this year in Pretoria with representatives from government, parastatals, and the private sector. And the main aim of this engagement was to identify what may have contributed to the possible decline in the number of domestic tourism trips undertaken over the years, subsequent to the growth that we had experienced up until 2014. We'd like to share some of the key findings of that revision, Chair. The first one being that the actions from the current strategy had been partially implemented due to a lack of dedicated focus, and we responded by establishing a dedicated domestic tourism unit within the department, and SAT also has one. Limited focus on domestic tourism has led to under-resourcing of the function across the public and private sector spaces. National, provincial, and local tourism authorities all battle for space in the inbound or international market, with very little focus being done on domestic tourism marketing and also limited financial resources allocated to that specific sector. Over 70% of associations that we consulted believe that SAT could improve their performance in marketing tourism in the domestic market, and they will speak to that. Prioritization of tourism by government, only from an international and arrival perspective. Narrow view of stakeholders excludes critical stakeholders such as labor. And we needed to break down, as you know, the domestic tourism satellite account shows that the highest amount of trips taken by South Africans is visiting family and friends. And we needed to see this differently and how we can actually mine that. Not see it as a negative, but how do we fuel that to power up the growth in domestic tourism. Other findings and recommendations that came out of the joint session that we did was different research methodologies were being employed by SAT and STAT South Africa, that has been addressed. No incentives to stimulate investment in product development to attract domestic tourists and increase domestic tourism. Group travel, stock sales and groups were not adequately catered for in the product offering and also the destinations. Current resorts need upgrading to respond to the tastes of the new traveller. SAT will also speak to that in detail. And drivers of domestic travel, such as sport, cultural and heritage societies, are not often part of the planning and implementation around domestic tourism strategies. Affordability due to economic circumstances, and this is significantly hitting us. We know now we are in a technical recession, and that has significantly affected the sector, and we can give you statistics on that. And thus, we needed a greater focus on social tourism. In order to respond to some of that, Chair, we have developed a framework of supporting tour operators to facilitate domestic tourism with an emphasis on previously disadvantaged groups. We seek to develop a domestic operators framework that will address the gaps in the strategy, amongst other things, improve access, affordability, and address aspects of seasonality and uneven geographic spread. One of the benefits of developing this framework, honourable members, will be to increase, we hope, domestic tourism, taking into consideration the impact on the economy. It will also further outline the support required by tour operators in order to actively participate and promote social tourism in South Africa. It is being developed in conjunction with tour operators, and we've done consultation sessions in most provinces and also interested and affected provincial stakeholders. These engagements are examining challenges faced by existing tour operators when it comes to putting together packages that are both affordable and the product offering is there. The findings will help the departments to develop an in-depth social tourism scheme, which is aimed at encouraging a culture of travel amongst South Africans. The aim of the social tourism scheme is also to enable travel and tourism participation by those of modest income, again, focusing on previously disadvantaged or marginalized members of our society, and also explore the challenges faced by disadvantaged or low to middle income earners. It also provides recommendations on how South Africa can implement the scheme to promote and encourage travel amongst all South Africans. In order to do this, Chair, we realize that we've got to work in a much more integrated fashion. So we have got what we call the Tourism Month Project Steering Committee, and the objective of this is a year-long approach to Tourism Month. As opposed to you only hearing about us in the month of September, we want to make tourism the business of all South Africans. So this committee seeks to do that. We strive to develop awareness and educational program out of the Tourism Month program in order to educate South Africans about domestic tourism and its importance in their lives. The tourism program seeks to provide an improved platform where there is optimal alignment and coordination with all spheres of government as well as industry players so that we share a common approach into implementing a Tourism Month which focuses on domestic tourism and also geographic spread, hence we are in the Eastern Cape this year. In order to maximize this, the value of tourism will be realized by unlocking its value through strategic partnership and improved intergovernmental involvement. The Tourism Month program is coordinated by ourselves and consists of SA Tourism as well and tourism stakeholders, including national departments, relevant national parastatals. We also have entities such as Brand South Africa, Savrala, because transport is very important in our business, and TBCSA, provincial marketing authorities, as well as private sector marketing representative bodies such as TBCSA. And then the committee seeks to facilitate the development of national and provincial domestic tourism initiatives to ensure the successful development of the domestic tourism market. Key to this, I've come to the end of our part of the presentation, and I'll turn over to SA Tourism now, Chair. But one of the key things that we seek to address through our domestic tourism strategy is transformation. As I indicated, the domestic tourism market, or tourism as a sector, is significantly untransformed across the five pillars of the transformation code, the BEE code. And if we can grow the domestic tourism pie by increasing participation of South Africans as well as ownership in the sector, we believe that we can make a significant dent in growing domestic tourism, but also transform the economy. And on that note, Chair, I'd like to turn over to SA Tourism.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, honourable members. I will take you through the insights for domestic from SA Tourism, and Marshall Dozimba will take you through the actual campaigns that we did at SA Tourism. Okay. When we did our enhanced growth strategy at SA Tourism, we identified that as part of our growth, we need to increase the holiday travel in South Africa by 1 million. However, in doing that, we did understand that there are challenges that we will have. And the first challenge that we have is that we don't have a culture of travel in the country. So we needed to drive the culture of travel in South Africa. And one of the ways that we knew that we're going to achieve that is to convert the non-leisure travelers into income-generating travelers in South Africa. And the second thing that we did, we're hoping to do, is make holiday accessible and easy. And the second challenge that we have is that we wanted to make travel familiar, we wanted to make travel aspirational and relevant. So the way we are achieving this is through the partnerships that we have that Mashoto will take you through. It's through acknowledging that the role of everyone in the value chain in tourism. And the third thing is that we needed to create more opportunities within tourism. And the fourth thing that we saw was that we needed to ensure that it is accessible, as I said, and everybody is able to take part in the tourism sector. So then we sat down and we said, okay, how can we do, how can we achieve what we're trying to achieve, how can we increase holiday travel in South Africa by 1 million. So we went back and looked at the population. We went to Statistics data and we saw we have 56 million people in South Africa. So we started doing our filtering process to understand, okay, who are the key people that will travel in South Africa? So the first filter we did was we needed people who are 18 years and older. And the second filter we had was that we needed adults that earn more than one rent, basically, that they have an income. No matter how that income comes, whether it's a grant or whether it's an allowance, but people that had an income. Then we did an analysis to see, okay, those that have an income, how many of them can actually afford holiday travel in South Africa? And we found that the threshold for holiday travel in South Africa is 5,000 rand. That was our starting base. We are working on it. We do understand it is small, but however, we are we are monitoring the amount, whether we would increase it or decrease it. And what we came up with was like only 10% of the population can actually afford to travel in South Africa. And we took those, because now we're moving from awareness building but conversion state, we realized that we needed to have new segments. So we had then three segments that we built. The first segment is the build segment. Now these are the South Africans that are earning 5,000 rand, but they're actually not necessarily traveling. So they're one of the key barriers is that they have limited budget and that they would actually set aside money to travel for visiting friends and family. The second segment that we saw was the convert segment. Now these consumers are traveling within South Africa, but they're actually not necessarily traveling for leisure purposes in South Africa. And their key barriers to travel is that they see South Africa as an expensive holiday during the peak season, and also they're concerned about their home and personal safety when they actually do travel. The third segment that we saw is the people that are actually traveling in South Africa, but these are the defense segments, and the key barrier is that they generally travel overseas and not in South Africa. Okay, so we did then focus groups to across the country to understand, okay, if we want to convert the South African consumer to travel domestically, what are the key insights or what are the key things, characteristics or needs that we would need to answer for them to travel in South Africa? The key thing that came out was that South Africans go on holiday to relax. They choose a destination based on word of mouth and what people are saying and people's recommendations. And also, sorry, my voice is gone. Sorry about that. And also, they see travel or holiday as an opportunity. Thank you. A holiday is an opportunity to take a break from the routine that they have. They also believe that travel domestically for holiday allows them to experience new and different things. They prefer outdoors, nature-based. While some South Africans consider VFR as a holiday, most of them believe that VFR trips restrict their freedom. They prefer to get inspiration of holidays from family and friends, and they also make travelers, most travelers favor affordable options when they travel. And once we had the insights, we did our campaigns, and then now we're looking at how did we perform. We see that domestic holiday, actually, the share of domestic holiday increased in 2017. And that's when we started introducing our campaigns for which Mashota will take you through and the initiatives that we did with Mashota will take you through. Okay. We do understand that we're trying to convert South African consumers to travel, but also we do understand that there are macroeconomic factors that are barriers to consumers traveling in South Africa and that they will impact South Africans traveling, which are the GDP, the inflation, and unemployment. And we continuously track those three factors to ensure that we're up to date and understand what the typical South African is going through and what is going through in their mind. Okay. This slide actually gives you how domestic travel is performing and also gives you the campaigns we've had and the budgets we've had. Okay. We do what we call brand tracker, which looks at how do South Africans perceive travel, domestic travel in South Africa. And what we're seeing is that people are aware of traveling in South Africa, only about 50%. They also actually have an intention of traveling within South Africa in the next 12 months. So people are willing to travel. But then we started asking, okay, if you're not traveling, what is that thing that's causing you not to travel? The biggest factor was that, the reason to travel within South Africa for those who are traveling are visiting friends and family. And they also want to have a relaxing beach or going to the mountain, but they genuinely want to relax and get out of the rat race that they have in their lives. And then we've asked, okay, if you're not traveling, what are those key barriers that are not allowing you to travel? For the both segments, their key barrier is that they don't have the time. So within the rat race, they actually don't have the time. And the convert segment is also the same, and for the defense segment, it's also the same. But now where it starts getting different is the second reason for people of not traveling. For example, for defense, their biggest reason is that they have other higher priorities that they have. And remember, these are the people that are earning 5,000 rands. The second one is for the convert segment is that they're not comfortable to go to the type of they're not comfortable with the type of people that they will meet on the holiday. And the third one for defense segment is that because they travel outside of the country and they can afford to go out of the country, they said actually the bad weather is the reason they're not traveling South Africa. Thank you very much, and Mashota, I'll take you through. I think the weather today is good morning, honorable chair and honorable members. After Batandra goes through all the work that she has gone through, then we sit down and we look at any other barriers that we could possibly have. And infrastructure was a barrier that we actually looked at. We looked at the infrastructure within South Africa. We launched a whole new campaign, and with the people that we actually are now targeting, we needed to look at whether there is sufficient infrastructure based on what they're actually looking for. So
any resource that the national departments, I know, are actually working on making sure that they are more utilized. And then we look at infrastructure in terms of roads. One thing we identified as an example was heading to Limpopo as an example. The road is absolutely fantastic going there. And that is one of the key things that actually increase tourism in the direction of Limpopo. So roads are quite important in that. The concept of water crisis, I think people don't want to leave their homes where they have water to go to another place where they're going to not have sufficient water. So that also does impact on traveling in South Africa. As I mentioned, because we do have a new target segment, we also needed to make sure that we work closely with the National Department of Tourism to make sure that we have the right facilities for the people that we are currently targeting. And I think Batandwa mentioned, touched on the fact that people are not, some people are not traveling because of fear of the people that they're going to meet where they've been going. And I think with the factors of racism that have contributed to exactly that in terms of the research that we conducted. Apologies. I'm not going to go through the market summary. I think Batandwa went into great detail telling us about what our segments we're looking at. We also went into detail to show the decline that we've had. But one of the things that we saw as the biggest challenge for us in terms of this year is that we needed to make sure that while we've been doing quite an extensive amount of work in terms of promoting domestic travel, but we needed to actually now turn it into action. So conversion was something that is very critical in the work that we were entering into. We looked at how word of mouth is absolutely critical. We also looked at everything that Batandwa has mentioned in terms of what they like, the bush, the beach, the bush, the beach, and the mountains. With the three things that are very big for them, we also obviously have our targets that we need to look at. So the two big things that we thought would be critical for us to do for this financial year was one, to inspire our segments to take more holiday trips by showcasing a variety of affordable, desired experiences in a clear and accessible manner. And the clear and accessible is critical for us because from our insights, people say, okay, you tell me that I can travel, you tell me I'm allowed to travel, you tell me I can go to many places, but you don't tell me how to actually do it. And then the other key thing that we needed to do is partner with and educate the distribution channel to package and promote relevant value for money deals with supporting content on holiday activities so that we encourage our segments to book and travel now. So we basically needed to equip our trade with what the consumer wants so that they can in turn package for the consumer and make the right information available for the consumer. As I mentioned, based on the revision of the insights, we also then looked at our campaign and we thought it does also need quite a bit of revision. And looking at the things that would inspire South Africans, one of the things that Batandwa mentioned is how South Africans absolutely have a great love for their country. So they absolutely love their country and they do want to see the different sides in their country. But to them it seems like it is an impossible dream. And we looked at elements that touch South Africans dearly, which is the statement, we the people of South Africa declare for all our country and the world to know that South Africa belongs to all who live in it. So we wanted people to remember that and keep it in their mind. So one of the things we also looked at is access to time, access to money, access to information, and fear of the unknown, which is everything that Batandwa talked about in her insights. So access is something that we realized was the critical thing. And how we did that is that we launched a brand new campaign in December, and the campaign was, "It's your country, enjoy it, because nothing's more fun than a short left." And with the campaign, which we launched in December last year, we launched it and we ran great awareness on it to just make sure that people can actually realize the new campaign. But we also then went through a whole revamp of Short Left, where we realized that some people are not traveling because they don't see themselves in the images that we actually show showcase when we showcase people traveling. So you would see people traveling and the images that between the hotels that are promoting or the tour operators, the images that you see were of a demographic that is completely different to the people that we were talking to. So we then went through and looked at all our images, and we added to our image bank with people having a lot more fun, people going out with groups. We added a lot more of your black consumers, because we didn't have enough images that actually showcases black people traveling. And as part of trying to do transformation of having more of them traveling, we needed to make sure that we did that. And yes, we launched many elements of it. Some of them I'll take you through. We also we launched the radio campaign, which is very big. And what we saw with the radio campaign is it was important for us to actually have somebody else talking about travel as opposed to us talking about travel, which is how we partnered with the radio guys. We also then, as part of our partnership with the trade, we went into the Holiday Expo. The Holiday Expo basically markets to our consumers. So consumers actually go to the Holiday Expo with the purpose of actually buying travel. So what we did is then we looked at hidden gems within our programs with in partnership with the National Department of Tourism. And when we looked at who there would be quite suitable for the people going to Holiday Expo, we therefore took about 17 of our hidden gems and we put them in there so that they can actually sit there and engage with consumers. What helps with that is that they actually got to see hand on hand what the consumer actually wants. But because we went through a full-on training program with them, the training program included how to market. We helped them also to develop marketing material so that they can in turn go to the Holiday Expo. We also worked with them in terms of packaging so that they can also do packaging throughout different provinces. So you would have an accommodation in a particular place, and anything that's close by that's an experience, we package them together with that. So that works quite wonderfully, because then people, what happens with Holiday Expos and your travel expos is they sell quite a lot of international travel. So what the Holiday Expo for us did is that it made people see domestic travel a bit differently. One of the key things, as I mentioned, on conversion is that we realized that we can do everything that we do. We can do awareness, we can change our images, but until we actually bring travel right to people's faces, we're still not going to be getting the numbers that we're looking for. So we looked at the model of Black Friday, and looking at the model of Black Friday, we wanted to see how they actually do Black Friday and how we can implement it within the work that we do, which is how we are launching this year, Sotlift Travel Week. Sotlift Travel Week, we've engaged now, I think we have about 200 trade that have partnered with us, and the trade that have partnered with us have committed to giving up to 50% off of travel for anyone who's booking between the 24th and the 30th. They can travel at a different time, so they don't necessarily have to travel at that time, but they have to book between the 24th and the 30th. And it has been something that was very welcomed by the trade. I think the first time I presented it, we were sitting on about 30 people, but we're sitting on over 400 people, actually, that are registered with us that are giving 30 to 50% off travel. Some of them are doing buy one, get one free, or if you come as you and your partner, your kids will have this and that, and some people are adding experiences. So we've seen a vast number of people actually joining us in this idea of growing domestic tourism. Our consumer campaign on this will be going live on Monday, where we will then be telling the consumer to basically make sure that they're ready for this particular campaign that's coming in, so that they can go see what it is that we that the trade is actually on offer is offering for that particular week. It's just a few things that show exactly where we are. One of the other initiatives that we're actually engaging in is the Stockwell Market. I think as the National Department of Tourism has said, group travel is something that was big, and we wanted to see exactly how can we make sure that we also get into the Stockwell. Now, Batandra mentioned that the people that we're targeting are people that earn more than 5,000 rand. So one of the key insights we needed to do is find stuff else that not only have people who earn to that that kind of income, but also are looking for travel. Because as you may know, honourable members, a lot of stokvels are formed for funeral purposes or for grocery shopping. So we needed to look at one that also has travel mindset in there, because we've tried the stokvel and in many instances we could not get through to them because the purpose of forming the stokvel was different. So we then looked at which partner we can look at, and we found a partner that was actually looking at exactly the same thing, where they are basically, the stokvel is forming with them. So they're forming stokvels with the purpose of actually saving for travel. We're sitting right now in our partnership with them at 176 stokvels that have been that have actually gone through the flight center stokvel, and they've saved up to 400,000 rand as it stands right now, with the purpose of them traveling. With this, we're also then promoting our travel week to the particular stokvels to make sure that the money that they've saved, they can then use it to spend on travel week with the 50% off. The thing that we're doing with the stokvel also helps us, because we're going into particular events, because events is something that we've always wanted to focus on. So we're going into particular events with the purpose of promoting travel, but also getting more stokvels to sign in. We're also working very closely with the provinces, where while our campaign is "It's Your Country, Enjoy It," the provinces are then taking it in within their particular provinces, and I just think the Eastern Cape one, because I liked the province quite a lot.
Thank you. You're welcome.
So the Eastern Cape would do "If Your Eastern Cape Enjoyed," and we're working through the provinces, and then we're going also to local, so you can say "It's Your Matatiele, Enjoy It," because nothing's more fun than a short left. So that is the work that we're doing in partnership with the provinces to make sure that the campaign does not just last nationally, but it also goes through provincially, then it gets a bit more late. That is my
Thank you very much to all the presenters, Maylene, Mashoto, and Batango. I think for your first time presenting the portfolio committee, I think you've done quite well. Thank you very much. Just to kind of end the scene over there, I think we've got to look at domestic within the context of where we find ourselves in the economy. We've also had, you know, the news of the recession over the last couple of days, and I think that's the state of where we find ourselves as an economy. You know, whenever the fuel price goes up, I actually lose some hair, literally, because tourism is about mobility. Mobility is about fuel. And there's a direct correlation between the two as well, coming through from that side. We've got a lot of work to do. The culture of travel is still not something that is ingrained within the majority of the population of the country. So a lot of work is being done there to make sure that we start to bring that through quite substantially, that side. One of the difficulties or challenges that South African tourism, we're essentially marketing a product or experience that you have no control over its price or its delivery. You know, so we rely on the private sector to play along in terms of getting the price right and actually the delivery that side. Geographic spread is something that we're always focusing on, because we want to make sure the benefits of tourism are not only felt in the big provinces, but they're also the outliers. The Northern Cape is an example, the Orson to play ball, and we're doing a lot of work with the provincial tourism authorities to make sure that that space is driven. We monitor their performance on a quarterly basis and make sure that they're also on that side. Seasonality is also quite important. We want to teach South Africans how to travel smartly, right? So therefore, when you go peak, here's the price. Off peak, here's a different price. The problem, one of the problems that we have, by the way, in the country is that we all go on holiday at the same time, right? Which also happened to be the same time that international travelers come in. So we're all competing for the same bed. And you can imagine that what happens to the price of the bed, supply and demand issues on that side. I also saw that, as an example, there's a call out in terms of commentary around the school holidays calendar, right? How then does that also impact, you know, the tourism travel within that particular time? I think there'll be some brilliant inputs to kind of give on that side. And then lastly, again, I mean, the stark reality from a population of 56 million people, that actually the audience that we're actually speaking to is less than 6 million people, right, that can actually earn 5,000 rand per household and more. And that's the space that we sort of drive. We've got to drive this 6 million population as an economy to become 10, 20 million people so that we can have more action happening in that perspective. However, interesting to know that within the 6 million population, right, only 370,000 of that is actually traveling. That's your G coefficient inequality example right over there in terms of some of those things. Key three things that are always top of mind as to what are the barriers that keep people back from traveling. One is cost, definitely. Ease of access, information, everything else on that side. And then confidence. You know, we underestimate what confidence does. You know, do I have enough information, the confidence, checking into a hotel, do I know how to go through that process? You know, am I also comfortable in the surroundings that I'm in? The last thing you want to do is to spend money and be in a place that you're uncomfortable around. But all of this work is what the team is always focused on to make sure that we can drive tourism forward. Then lastly, and most importantly, I'm sure you have seen in the last slides over there, collaboration is important. We are starting now to saying, how do we collaborate with the private sector, especially those that are not in the tourism sector itself? Let me give you an example, right, where we partner with the likes of commercial banks that actually have loyalty points, the likes of Discovery is an example, that actually have travelers part and parcel of its vitality programs. We're starting to see a lot of alignment that's happening on that side. I mean, if any of you are banking with FNB, if you look at it, they're actually a travel agent. They sell airtime as well. They package things specifically in there. We can no longer be observers to that, but actually be participants and supporters from their perspective. Insurance companies, vehicle companies. So we look at the entire space and say, how do we crowd in the private sector to become part and parcel of the tourism sector as well? Not to forget our cousins, I call them that, South African Airways. Again, to bring them much closer to make sure that we can also have a lot more better deals. Sandparks as an example. Hopefully you've seen, I think the last 2 weeks or so, some airtime being given around Sandparks where they're kind of giving free access within this month of September. You know, we want people to travel to the parks. Something like 70-75% of people that go to the parks are actually domestic South Africans. However, 90% of them are white people. So we want to make sure that we start to manage those issues dynamics and make sure we promote people to travel to parks, et cetera, et cetera, from their perspective. The key thing always over time is that in our quest to actually get more people to travel, we must not alienate those that are already traveling as well, but to balance the portfolio to make sure that there's as well on that side. And then lastly, my challenge, I suppose, open question, is that we also, to have a sense of where the economy is at, you know, just either yourself or your spouse or within our own spaces. Just look at, are we traveling? Are we traveling the same rate that we traveled before, you know, whether 2-3 years ago, and what's our habits as well? Because as well, we also mirror as to what is happening within the environment there. I think with those words, honorable members and chair, I'd like to thank you for the time allowing us and the department to present, and we are open to any questions or positive clarifications that may arise. Thank you.
Thank you very much to all the presenters and also to you as the CEO. Honourable members, let's just go back one step. It was us who expressed a concern about domestic tourism and asked for the presentation. I want to, without preempting the other members, say that you have done lots of work on that. We will now be able to assess how the members receive and not perceive, receive the work that you have done. That's point one. Point two, honourable members, there's another document which is more extensive and more detailed. This is the PowerPoint presentation that we normally use, but there's this document that you have as well. So your questions could also come out of this document. Let us now agree that we would give opportunity for the members to engage with the presentation. The procedure that we follow, I see you have a fairly new team, is that you write down your responses. We'll take a cluster of questions at a time, and then at the opportune moment give you an opportunity to respond. We have the Honorable Faber, the Honorable Makhwebu. Honorable Ntebe, are you covered? Okay, let's have the three of you.
Honorable Chairperson, you know, I look at all the strategies and all these plans, but the most basic thing that I think any human being that wants to travel, the first thing you do is you look at what your budget is, what your cost is, what this for the period of time that you're going to be on holiday, or wherever you're going to go, how you're going to get there, what that cost is, where you're going to stay. All of us here sitting here today, when you go anywhere, the cost of traveling, the cost of staying, then you start also looking at the events that might affect you. Now, let's go to the first one for instance. If I fly from Cape Town to Kimberley and back today, and I've been in Canal Walk yesterday, last night coming out, the return flight to Kimberley now costs 3,200 rand. If I fly to Bangkok, and I know because my son went to Bangkok a month ago, it cost him 7,500 rand via Egypt Air. Going to Egypt now will cost you, with this inflated price of the rand, just with a flight scanner right now, I was checking, under 6,000 rand, I can go to Egypt and back. Now, Chairperson, for any person that's thinking of having a holiday, obviously, the excitement of going out of the country is a big thing, you know. So if someone can go outside of the borders of the country and get that, it's just double the price that you pay for a normal flight, surely you're going to start thinking, oh, maybe I can save up a little bit and I can go overseas or to another country. Now, to promote, the whole thing is we must promote our experiences. And to be quite frank, I don't think we're actually succeeding in promoting the experiences in our country as such. The private sector, I think, in a lot of ways are coming to the winelands, wine tasting. The Northern Cape, where I stay, experiences. You know, ambassadors ask me, we're going to the Northern Cape, where can we go? Going to Uppington, where can we go? And I'm going to Robbie's Falls. Okay, you can look at this. And I run out of options on one hand. Now, Chairperson, we have to start, as provinces, we have to sell our experiences, and we're not doing that. Then, I want to say, many years ago, there used to be municipal resorts. Outside of Kimberley, there was Riverton Langlach. On the other side of Kimberley, 30 kilometers away, I'm not talking about far away, 30 kilometers away, 100 kilometers away, were the so-called Barclay West resorts. These resorts were full that you could not go to them over weekends. These days, they dilapidated. No one goes there anymore. Now, the interesting story was that these resorts were not filled by people from Kimberley all the time. They were filled from people traveling from other areas in South Africa, sleeping over there, having 2 or 3 days at the resort, then traveling further. Now, at this stage, you've got the guest houses. No, and we were talking about people earning 5,000 rand. Go and have a look what a guest house cost you in Kimberley. You will fall over. It's going to cost you 800 to 1,000 rand, almost what a hotel cost you. But at these resorts, for 200-300 rand, you could have had a nice bungalow where your family could have stayed. Now, Chairperson, these are the type of things that we must look in, because we're looking at cost. The CEO was talking about fuel just now. He's getting like shivers, and you know, we're glad to see him here, stress-related factors, etc. But you know, with the fuel prices as such, even myself don't even go from Acacia Park to here with my car anymore. I try to see if I can take a bus or a train or whatever. So it becomes more and more difficult for tourists to even think of going somewhere. Then another factor which I heard about, people don't want to be where other people is. We don't just call it by name all the time, unfortunately. Yes, it can be race related, but I want to say to you that most of it is crime related. I don't want to go to Johannesburg because I might get mugged. I don't want to come to Cape Town, to the area where I can most probably afford it, because of crime, because of gangsterism, crime. And the economy of our country going down these few points that we saw a few days ago also plays a factor. The normal, rational person all of a sudden thinks, while we're going into this huge recession, we don't have money, we have to keep our money back, our house payments is going to go up, we're not going to have money. It makes it more and more difficult for tourism. And just maybe, so going to all these presentations, we can have all these beautiful plans. But I can tell you now, if our economy don't pick up, if our fuel, luckily I see fuel only increased by 5 cents after all the other increases. So you know, when you see these things, I'm talking about the general person in public. It is not easy. And I'm afraid to say, if we don't start looking at, if I want to have a holiday, where can I stay at a very good price? If we don't start off with that, why it's going to cost me from here to there so much, and then when I get there, where to stay? And where to stay, I think, is where we must then start to look at. And these municipal resorts must be worked at. I don't know if we must make it a provincial resort, that maybe each province at least look at one resort and see to that that resort has been heaped up so that people can start going to the resorts. Because, to be quite frank, it's only the top range people that can afford to go to these fancy guest houses, fancy lodges. I can't even go to a fancy lodge these more, and I think we don't get bad salaries. What about a person getting 5,000 rand? We have to be able to get people something that is affordable to stay. So please, my plea is, let's look at these resources. Let's see maybe from a provincial view, because municipalities are bankrupt as they are, as most of them in any case. So just my input, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. You know, I know we have said this before, you know, this entity is one of the entities that really makes us proud. And last time when they were here, they gave us a few things to think about, hence we invited them, as the Chair has already alluded to that. And we're not hypocrites, we really understand the pivotal role that this entity plays. Not only this morning, but I know Mr. Faber, I know the Chair does that, and many other colleagues. We, CEO and Chairperson, we're wearing your badge.
I don't know if you realized this morning when I came. It's upside down.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, it's far by, next to me. Yeah, I was wearing a jacket, you know, on top of it this morning. But be that as it may, and we really
support you in many ways. But, you know, because you have the potential to unlock jobs in a country where we've got more than 10 million South Africans that are unemployed. So you have our full support. But having said that, I just want to talk about your endeavors now on developing a framework to support tour operators. Now, I would want to find out two things, really. One, what are your projected timelines? When will this framework be important? Because when I look at what it seeks to achieve, I am convinced that it will really, assist South Africans, it's well thought, but we need a timeline. When will this framework be available? Two, when it is developed and it is ready, will it be accessible to those who want to be tour operators or those who are struggling with this to access it, maybe through your websites? Or how do you intend to make sure that anyone sitting in Komosa with Wajem Tanzania number 5 will log in into his smartphone and see that there is a framework on the tour operators, and then that will assist. That's the first part, Chairperson. Then I also note that on on the big things, you're talking about the big things that you wanted to do, inspire segments to take more holiday trips for showcasing a variety of affordable, desired experiences in a
clear and accessible manner to partner up and educate, blah, 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 blah. Now, I just want to pause on that score and ask this question. Last time we've been talking about the idea and the potential of these DMCs. And I would want just to get an update. I know the CEO reported to us last time that he's appointed someone dedicated to that exactly. So if you can just perhaps give us more information, what are the developments in that regard? And then lastly and finally, I want us to talk about the issue of the short left and how it's marketed and packaged. You know, I'm not for 1 second criticizing what you have done. I see it on Mango Airlines fighting for space there to advertise short left and what. But that doesn't South African, you know, where flies. And sometimes I choose not to fly. Sometimes I can still afford the Mango flight, but I choose to drive. And many South Africans that we would want to encourage the culture of traveling, they may not afford even the Mango flights, things we take for granted. So why have you not considered, or may you consider perhaps, whilst you're doing these endeavors of marketing this short left travel week, use, you know, simple things like try to be practical, or to be more practical, like taxi cabs, taxis, because if you get to the airport, you can still find a taxi cab in even in small towns or small cities. And so just to beef up your endeavors on Mango, consider taxi cabs, even if you have flyers or brochures, or even taxi cabs will be willing to share your stickers for a month or two, or for that period. To me, in my view, I think that will help, you know, market this, particularly, you know, for those who come to those cities and to access to the townships as well. But save for that, I can only wish you good luck. And like I said, you can count on our support. Hence, we asked you to come back on this declining tourism. We've seen you've done a proper diagnosis. You have your findings, you have recommendations and remedial actions. Time will tell. But as we're saying, consider our inputs now. I'm really happy that we have this day. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable Ntebe.
Chair, I want to limit myself to a proposal. I think the presentation was oozing with positivity, so I wanted to avoid lamenting. But there's just one thing. You've clearly characterized infrastructure as one of the barriers. But you stop short of saying what is it that you're going to be doing. And I want to go back to my every time remarks when you're presenting to us, that issues of infrastructure and issues of security are not your babies. They are not. But this requires a multifaceted approach so that we can all bring straight stakeholders together so that we can sort it out. I even make an example, the CEO. I said, where my house is a stone throw away from one of the nature reserves, Kaswane Nature Reserve in Rustenburg. People can't go there because there's issues of security. You go there, you park your car, you have bicycles behind your car. In the morning when you wake up, they are not there. People go into the rooms at night and take laptops and everything. And people, when they go on holiday, want to relax. So when you are at the bright area and the next day you leave your things there and in the morning they are not there, you will not go back there. But it is not your baby. So a multifaceted approach is needed for issues. 3 weeks ago we went to just on the border of the Northern Gate of Kruger National Park. We went to the municipality, Thalaborwa Municipality. They said to us, please assist us in getting our road infrastructure up to scratch. Because how do you get people to go to Kruger National Park if, take a leaf from what Honorable Vos was saying, I want to drive because I want to minimize my expenditure.
but the roads that I'm going to be traveling on are not conducive for driving. So I don't want to drive and in the middle of nowhere I get a puncture and there's nobody to assist me. So it's a barrier to traveling. But it is not your responsibility. It is neither municipality as small as it is responsibility. But all these stakeholders need to be brought together so that issues of infrastructure, issues of security, and all other issues can be sorted out. A multifaceted approach is necessary. Other than that, you will come to the meetings, show us the research, methodology that you are using, we agree with, but it is not assisting us to get to the gist of the problem. That's my issue. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mteta.
Thank you, Chair. Let me appreciate the presentation, both from the ladies and from the CEO itself. You know, when you talk about tourism, domestic tourism in South Africa, you talk about the people who are living the most in the rural areas. The people, most of them are not working. The people who are more disadvantageous than any other people in South Africa, but they are part of South Africa. They need to be encouraged to be part of the domestic tourism in South Africa. You know, when we grew up, there were tours that were happening at schools, visiting one province to another province. And that thing encourages us when we are grown up that we have to visit the Western Cape, the Eastern Cape, the Northern Cape, where I was there when I was a schoolboy. But when you look at it today, those tours are minimal because from schools now, they only visit the nearest areas, visiting the factories in their domestic area, visiting some of the tourism areas in that particular area. But we don't have those long trips that we used to have it before, which I think as part of promoting domestic tourism, we need to encourage even the educators to go back into those tours so that we can able to, because, you know, we talk about to be a tourist, domestic tourist, but you need an education for that. You cannot do it without an education. We got people that we know in the rural areas who never go anywhere. They don't have even an ID, even today. They are staying there on the mountain, and they are happy about that. But if you don't able, as a democratic government, able to teach those people that there is another life besides the life that they are living in the desert, and they won't get into that life. But I really appreciate the focus that you have to focus directly in domestic tourism. I really appreciate the focus, but we need to involve the provincial government strongly on that one, also involve the municipalities strongly on that one, because the department or the entity itself can try to do it if there is no cooperation in this on these people, and we also need to involve the traditional leaders themselves. So because today when you talk about traditional leaders, the structures of traditional leaders are so powerful. In some areas they are like equal to the municipalities. In some areas they are more. When you talk about in KwaZulu-Natal, where I'm coming from, traditional leaders, they command a massive support.
Except the
I wanted to say, my point is, I wanted to say, we will not reap the fruit of domestic tourism if we don't involve the people from the rural areas, the people that haven't that eager to visit the province, the other provinces. Another thing that is happening right now, we don't have people from KwaZulu-Natal visiting the Eastern Cape. We don't have people from KwaZulu-Natal visiting the Northern Cape. You know, I went to Limpopo because I'm a member of parliament. And it was the first time I saw Limpopo. I said, Limpopo is so beautiful. I was working with the mayor, I was not tourist. But to be part of this committee, I began to have this local, this domestic tourism in the area. I saw Limpopo is very beautiful. It's a very lovely place that you can visit. You can take your kids and go there. And there is no crime there. I never had any crime when I was there. But let me say, we need to encourage. I think one of your work is you need to encourage the provinces to visit another provinces. It must be, but you can leave that. But if the provincial government, they are not part of that, it won't be effective. And the local municipalities, the district municipalities, if they are not part of that, it won't happen. But let's try and make sure that it happens. And you talk about the opportunities that are coming as you go along with awareness of domestic terrorism. But I didn't hear the answers that you receive or the cooperation that you receive from the domestic, the municipalities, the provincial government, the traditional leaders, all the stakeholders, the business community, to be part of what we need to happen in order to expand the domestic tourism and also to expand our economy. We are in the recession, but we can work hard, because when you look about tourism can be a massive itself. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm sorry I'm going to be a bit longer on this, because there's lots of comments coming through. Let's have the Honorable Tikgale before I add mine.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also join my colleagues in thanking the presenters, and also to agree with the Honorable Magwebu that this is a good department, whereby all that you've raised last time, it looks like it has been taken into consideration, because I can hear in the presentation that what we have been raising was not in vain. Thank you very much for that. I am not going to say much or repeat what our Honorable Member from KZN was just said about the traditional leaders. It was part of what I'm going to raise today as a comment and also a question. But then now he has covered me, I won't repeat what he said. On the slide number 55, I'm worried that somebody was biased here about Eastern Cape. But when you check on the media, it looks like all the media was covered. I was going to request that next time you also consider our province here. Even if you don't like them, maybe you should do it as you did when it comes to the media issue. I'm not saying you did not do well, but I'm just worried that my province is not here. And the Honorable former mayor from KZN went to Limpopo, and what he said just qualifies what I'm saying now. On the issue of the Stokvel group, I don't know which group of
stockfella you're referring to, because I'm part of those ladies in my area who are meeting every month. Unfortunately, we'll always talk about the funeral, how we'll arrange our funeral in case it happened that we have one. I think if you can try and come up with a program whereby you also visit our areas and talk to the stockfellers there, so that we don't only consider talking about the funeral or the wedding or party issues. We also come up with this plan or form part of the plan of tourism. I think it will assist. Even if we can, like the Honourable Member Faber here was talking about the prices on how we travel, I agree, it will be expensive. But you find that they don't even visit in the very province where they are staying. Others have never been to Venda, who are staying in the Khali area. Those in Venda have never been to Lebohomu, such things. I'm happy that you understand me, my dear one. Slide number 13, where you're referring to domestic towns, in where you say, let me just open it quickly and on the revisions, when it comes to the findings and recommendations, you say domestic tourism marketing is not prioritized strategically and financially. I don't understand here. Maybe if you can try and unpack and explain to me, why is it not prioritized? Recommendation number two. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Let me quickly add mine. The first is to just give a positive comment there under the barriers to promoting domestic holiday travel. I was traveling on one occasion in Jeffreys Bay, my wife and I, and we asked people at the garage where we could stay. They send us to the resort. When we got to the resort, my wife says, no ways that I'm staying here. Linking on to what the Honorable Papa said. We went there, then went to the caravan. And there's this lady sitting behind the counter, an Afrikaner woman. And we said to her, can we book in here? And she says, no, you can't. We said, but we'll sleep in the car. And she says, no, only when you have a caravan. But then she says, you look like such a nice couple. I'll phone a friend of mine. And she phoned this woman who's got a guest house on the river. And this woman said, no, it's off season. I can accommodate you. It was on the 10th of December. Another Afrikaner woman. And she said, no, I'll accommodate them. She charged us 350 rand for a three-bedroomed apartment because it was off-season. This lady that was referring us, sitting behind the counter, says, you're such a lovely couple. She gave my wife a pack of homemade biscuits to have at home that evening. So we find that South Africa is unique in that sense, that whilst we may have extreme forms of racism, we always, because of tourism, have this wonderful exposure to each other as human beings. But I want to build further on that and say that, you see, the problem that we had is we didn't know where to go to. Look at how we can address that. My second point would be on the goals for the market. You talk there about the overall domestic trip spend, and I particularly want to put emphasis on this. You see, even if we have fewer number of people traveling and they spend more, it would help. But then also, it depends on where they spend. I was just checking with Honorable Teto,
You see, when I travel in KZ, in Cape Town, I'll go to Khayelitsha, I'll go to Cooks, I'll go to Nyanga, I'll spend 120 rand on a plate of food, and maybe another 200 rand on the drink, 320 rand. But then I go and stay at an hotel in Cape Town and spend 1,300. If we're talking transformation, it's going to be important that we look at how do we manage that transformation. Do you have that in mind in your transformation agenda? My third point is, you see, the Apartheid Museum is just around the corner from me. I have in my family, we're a big family, easily about 50 people. I'm the only one that has gone to the Apartheid Museum. Why? But then I was traveling in the south of America, and I looked at the number of school children that were at the museum there, the Martin Luther King Center. And what is happening is that these kids were walking around with books with their teacher. They had questions that they were given in the class, and they were going to be given points for what they have picked up in the museum itself related to this African leader, Martin Luther King. Now, do you have a plan like that when you talk about working with schools? My next question is, do you speak to businesses about business conferences happening at these centers? My other question is related to the one raised earlier on when we talk about infrastructure. Have you spoken to SALGA to look at how SALGA can help you? Just yesterday, I had a long conversation with SALGA about legislation on roads that we're looking at and asking them to look at how they can help municipalities. If the municipalities know about tourism, I don't know. I'm not engaged with municipalities on that. My final question would also relate to us in government, which is that we find that very often, you see, the government in KZN, the provincial authority there, as far as I can pick, does not speak to the provincial authority in Gauteng. We're almost in competition with each other. Are you talking to provincial authorities to exchange information? We find it interesting in the House, particularly in the NCOP, when we talk about social cluster challenges that we're having, that some provinces are doing very well. And when we request them to engage with other provinces and share their challenges and their achievements, that they are more than willing to do that. Are you looking at that as well? It's a number of comments and questions. Let's say we're going to give you 30, 35 minutes to respond. All yours, CEO.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. He earlier requested, after he just raised his question, he wanted to add another one. Let's make it one.
Thank you, Chair. I want to add, there's also traditional functions that are taking place province to province. In KwaZulu-Natal, there is this umkhosi womhlanga, and umkhosi welembe, wadukuza, and umkhosi wamaganu, wantembe, and other areas. They've got their own traditional functions that are taking place. If maybe your entity can be involved in this entity to promote that, if there's something that is happening in Northern Cape traditionally, we encourage people from KwaZulu-Natal, a delegation, to go and visit and be part of that and see what is happening in that province. If there's something that is happening in Mpopo, we need to encourage
But to do that, to be able to do that effectively, you need to be involved in all these functions, that Christian functions that are taking place throughout South Africa, throughout the 9 provinces, in order to promote domestic terrorism. It must not be a local thing. It must be a South African function. That's all that I wanted to make.
Kubeka called me this morning to say that he's not feeling well. We agreed that, look, we'll try and struggle through. Mm-hmm. But he just indicated to me that he's feeling a bit dizzy, he's getting some fresh air. I wanted to use the time to maybe ask Abdullah, would you be prepared to just help with notes while he's not in the meeting? Thank you. Chio?
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you for the questions, honorable members. What I'm going to ask and to do is I'm going to allow my different team members, starting with you, Malene, basically, and then going down there, and I will give you 7 minutes each. Not 7.5, 7 minutes each, just to look at the time, maximum, basically, to, and then please, don't need to touch on everything, just touch on the elements that you feel confident in responding to, and what I'll do is I will sweep up everything else that I can answer at the end, okay?
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. First, I'd like to acknowledge and appreciate the comments that we've received, and we don't take that lightly. We sincerely appreciate it because we believe tourism is everybody's business. So thank you for that. I'm going to try and address quite a few of the questions that are sort of cross-cutting, and I'll ask Rosie to address the one on the questions regarding the support for tour operators. In response to Honourable Faber's comments around the price of flights, that indeed is something that we look at, but I think SAT will speak more to that. But we kind of split our responsibilities between SA Tourism and ourselves, and ours is more on the social tourism side, and part of that is the transformation mandate around the budget results that you speak about. In all the provinces, we have provincial resorts or nature reserves. I come from Limpopo, where there are about 46, and I see the Honourable Tikhari is not in the room, but it is the most visited province from an overnight visits perspective. And that speaks to, my colleague spoke about the kind of infrastructure, and there is a plethora of budget results in the Limpopo province. Some of them are well maintained. But it's indeed something that we are looking at. We've developed what we call commercialization guidelines. And we will be working with entities such as DBSA and the National Empowerment Fund around when we offer concessions with sand parks as well. They will go to previously disadvantaged because some of them have no sunset clauses and have been in the hands of some of the concession holders since the 60s, and that has to change. The board at sand parks has given them an instruction to do that. And we're working around how we actually fund that. And one of the proposals going to the Job Summit, which is a joint proposal between ourselves, DIA, and Sandparks, is around creation of cooperatives and SMMEs to do the maintenance, because there's a critical need for maintenance in our parks, both national, provincial, and local. And we hope to, through the Job Summit, get that operationalized so we can start to address that. Therefore, we transform in terms of the concessions. We also empower, and that's the social aspect around social tourism, the communities around those parks. You have the high incidence of poaching in the Kruger, for example. If we empower the youth and the communities around that and we educate them about the importance of their resource, then they protect their resource as opposed to participate, because poaching is not a choice, I'm sure. It's a livelihood issue. So that is something that we are trying to do and working on, and there will be a dedicated focus on that in our next financial year. Around the comments that came from some of the other honourable members around the infrastructure challenges, as we were planning for Tourism Month in the Eastern Cape, we visited the Kunu area in Mthatha. If you have to sadly visit the Nelson Mandela Museum there, it is in a derelict state, as are the roads in the Kunu area. So it is definitely something that we need an integrated approach on, and we have are working with SELGA, and the tourism steering committee that I spoke to is an attempt to try and do exactly that. Another example is the Department of Transport. Our tour operators have to get permits from the Department of Transport, and it's the same permit as a taxi operator. It is a very different use, and they struggle in those queues. They get, you know, sent up and down. So that is something we definitely need a greater integrated approach on, and that is what the Tourism Steering Committee seeks to do. In terms of the security challenges, et cetera, that's same Tourism Steering Committee will seek to do. We'll have a provincial representative, and that provincial representative must then go back into his or her province and carry the mandate of the steering committee there. We do have, to Honourable Mtetwa's comment around what are we doing for children, and particularly the rural areas, because a large percentage of how we intend to grow the domestic market is in exactly in that, and using the budget resource and giving them access to those very resources. We have designated groups that we do. We assist with from the department side. It's senior citizens, children, and the disabled. But it is something that we need to refine and do a lot better on and work with the Department of Basic Education. And we've already met with Sand Parks, and we want to start with our national parks, where we take children to these national parks. And it must be cross-pollination. Children from Limpopo must come to Agalas. Children from Agalas must go to Kruger. So that way we can actually educate the children who are the influences of their parents' decisions. The challenges faced by the, from the revision of the strategy, the Honourable Tekhali asked, that was a revision, and that was the stakeholder work that was done. And one of the things is that there wasn't proper marketing, and I think that was a study that was done last year, and FAT has responded to that. Part of those findings have been well addressed there. The transformation agenda, I think we've already spoken about, and I think I've covered most of the questions that came from our side, and I hope I've kept to your 7 minutes. So if I may just ask Rosie to respond on the tourism, the operators, the tour operators, and then SOT.
Thank you, Megan. The question on tour operator framework was that when will it be completed and how will it be accessed by the tour operators. So this financial year where we are is we have already done 2 rounds of consultations. We did provincial consultations with the tour operators, which are mainly the private startups and majority of which are black tour operators. We have developed a report out of it, and we have now the best draft of the framework developed. We will have a session with government and some of the stakeholders in October, where we'll be unpacking the first draft and look at what we have done to date. Once we have completed with the framework, the development of the framework, which will be by the end of this financial year, that would be by March 2019. Mm-hmm. We will then have a roadshow, an awareness roadshow, where we'll be presenting the final framework to the different provinces, and then we will have it on our website so that anyone can be able to access it at whatever point that they will be. Thank you so much.
You're saying that before the end of the financial year?
We will have it ready by the end of the financial year. Right now we have...
By end of the
yes. March.
Before.
Oh, okay.
No, we just come from provincial oversight now in the Free State, where when they were ducking giving us a time frame, they would say by the end of the financial year. For everything that we are seeing, they say, no, that's not good enough. Because we don't know whether we're going to be here or even whether we're going to be in the same committee. So we have to plead that it happens within our time. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah, our time is up.
I'm
just counting our time is up.
No, she must still speak.
No, I'm telling you, our time.
Honourable members, I'm behind the pillar. the three things I will touch on One is regarding the Travel Week promotion. I didn't actually mention absolutely everything that we're doing, but you are very right when you talk about the taxis, and one of the things is we've branded around 200 taxis around the country, and we're using those exact taxis to further amplify the Travel Week communication so that we actually are touching on a lot more people. We also have billboards that we have put strategically in 15 taxi ranks around the country where those particular billboards will also be touching particularly on Travel Week. There's a number of iterations that we actually are doing, so I'm just mentioning just a few. Regarding the provincial, the work that we do with provinces, I think the CEO can also go into details with the agreements that we have with them, but part of the work that the provinces have asked us to do is to actually work with them on their particular strategies in promoting domestic tourism so that we are very seamless. So the work that you saw me present on It's Your Eastern Cape, we do for every single province, so because they actually asked us to do the creative work for them so that they can use their budgets for other elements. We're working with them also on the actual strategy that goes into promoting domestic tourism. So there's quite a lot of work that we actually are doing with them, and it'll keep getting better with time as we are all talking the same language with regards to domestic tourism. The third thing I'll talk to is the Stokveld, and Honorable Dikhalizuk is gone, but she mentioned something that is quite valuable, that, you know, there are quite a few Stokvelds. I'm also in a Stokveld where we talk a lot about funerals. But sometimes you need to actually go into a Stokvel. For me, it was easier because I could go to my particular Stokvel and mention tourism to them because I work in tourism. But it was quite valuable when she was saying that we need to get into other Stokvels because they do have the money. They just are thinking funerals and groceries. So maybe it's time to actually see how we can work close. And there's a lot of Stokvel groups that fall in associations of sorts, so we need to just see how we can partner with those associations so we can reach most of them.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much from the team members. Let me sweep a couple of questions over there. I think just to start off, Honorable Faber, you're absolutely right. You just start with the airlines, you know, the cost of airlines is up to 60% of the total package of someone traveling. And typically what people do, they search the mode of travel first, and that would either deter them from even looking further or actually continue on that side. To give you a bit of an example, when SA Express was actually grounded, I had to grind my teeth because essentially two of those provinces, like the Northern Cape to Kimberley, suddenly now there's no connectivity. Those that were flying, the prices just come to skyrocket. It's something happening all over the show. Similarly, with Umtata as an example, Air Link flies into there. There was another airline that started flying to there, predatory pricing, killed the other one, and they're back to where they started. You know, so the difficulty that tourism is sitting on this side, we can't touch, we can't do, we don't do, but we try to influence. Now, it's not good enough to sit back and do nothing, and here's some of the things that we are doing as well, is we are part of the Air Access campaign. The Western Cape is a great example of the success of it. What we are doing there is to say, don't only focus international, but we want to make sure that there's domestic connectivity from that perspective. We do also offer support. Just to give an example, what we say is that we encourage airlines to start to fly to destinations they don't normally fly to. And our contribution would be to say, well, we'll pick up the tab on marketing. So we'll market the route on your behalf. So what it does, it actually minimizes the cost of the airline to actually get that route up and running. So we have a both view to make sure that that route is actually encouraged and driven from that perspective. So we do get involved in such. But the only thing we can do is say we want more airlines to start flying, more frequency, and then we'll start to see the cost of them come down. Also as well, your comparisons around Egypt and Thailand. Domestic competes with it, that's the reality. So when you can get a holiday to Thailand for X amount versus Cape Town, just the flights alone, 6,000 rand return, it does put pressure basically on what we're able to offer. And again, it's about sensitizing, making sure that people are informed of what the different options are. The results one is a very interesting one, very, very interesting one. And just to
to dwell quickly for 10 seconds. The UK had a similar issue whereby the locals could not afford to actually go to their own accommodation. They actually developed a brand called Butlins. And Butlins basically is a domestic, deliberate domestic package or resorts focused internally. We have over 500 plus resorts that you speak of that are lying fallow across the country there. It's not my fault, but I want to throw that back to say that there's an opportunity there to convert those, target those into domestic, to target the domestic market at affordable pricing to the specific issue that target the families, et cetera, from that perspective there. Honorable Mokwe, you're absolutely right. I'm very passionate about the DMC space. Because, you know, the team can do all they want to do about profiling the provinces, but if you can't get there and someone can't take you there, that becomes a problem. Expecting the existing DMCs or tour operators to do it just will not make sense because they already have a niche market that they're serving. It's about bringing new players in. You're going to start to see a cadre of new tour operators coming through. What we are doing is to make sure that on our platforms we reserve a certain percentage for the new players. So on the short lift, as an example, say, well, 20% of the short-lived campaigns will be from new players that are targeting the areas that we know we want to drive geographic spread, et cetera, and that stuff. And we want to roll that out. We're doing this in conjunction, obviously, with the department where they're developing them and we are giving them access and platforms to drive on that side. Tourism is more than just, we look at all modes of transport, not just airlines, but we look at buses. We look at even road trips, which are South Africans, and we've got good roads. Though we may think sometimes we don't, but we've got very good roads to get that up and running on that side. Then, Honorable Ntebe, on the infrastructure part, very, very important there, in terms of how do we all collaborate and come together. To give a bit of a sense, we've got three spheres of government, as you know. At national level, you have SA Tourism, at provincial level, each province has its own tourism authority, and even at local level, you'll find even at the metros, there's tourism authorities. None of them reporting to each other. You know, as a result, we may be speaking past each other. So what we do is that on a quarterly basis, I meet with all of the nine provincial tourism agencies, and we speak about a couple of things. We speak about performance. We speak about barriers. We also speak about interprovincial flow that we could start to actually target on that side. The key thing is that we want them to be aware of some of the barriers. An example, the current conversation in Mpumalanga, say your roads are deteriorating around the Bulletin Rest, and that is having an impact on the number of people coming through. You know, so therefore to say to them, focus on getting the roads right to actually get to those spaces where we need to. And you also take into account that you probably will be seeing the next couple of months at an agreement with Athletics South Africa on making sure that we are able to package all those road races that you are very passionate about. So we are listening to you, Honorable Member, then.
Thank you.
Then, last but not least, is technology. We are investing quite substantially around the technology platforms. And what they will do, they will address a couple of issues that we have around here. They will address the issue that the Chair highlighted about you find yourself in a place, but you don't know what is around there. Your conversation was incidental. How do we give everyone on their cell phone an ability that when they are in a certain region, they can see all of the graded establishments within the vicinity, and they can book themselves? Graded means they've been assessed by South African Tourism and put a stamp behind it, you know, so therefore they can shop with confidence from that perspective. So you will see we're really investing a lot of technology. Everything from gathering data, everything from getting insights. Everyone wants a bespoke travel agent in their pocket. And if you know that you are a soccer fan, as an example, it will push to you soccer-related activities as opposed to shopping, if that is your thing in that regard. So, again, there's going to be a huge focus around technology as an enabler. You know, so you can search at any given point in time events across the country. So if you like... since Steinhoff is in the house, if you like horses as an example, right, you can search right across where the horse races are at, and you can search over there. And if you want to search by province, you can search by Northern Cape, by Kimberley, what is happening this weekend, and all of the things that will be there. It is a way, really, of making sure people have access to information so they can make informed decisions. And whether, by the way, there is an event could be a traditional event, those we want to expose as well so that they become part of the calendar of activities happening across the country. Business conferences, very important from our space. And you'd know that our convention center, one of the things that we said to them is that we're doing very well in this space, but it can't only be for Cape Town, Joburg, and Durban. We also want to focus on the other smaller provinces. It's London as an ICC, Kimberley as an ICC as an example. So how are we also incentivizing that the conferences also happen in those outlying areas? What we did very well as an example with Neisner after the fire, we said, well, business can contribute to Neisner, not just by giving handouts and writing a check. Have your meetings in Neisner. Do business with Neisner. That's how you're going to stimulate Neisner coming through. So that's a campaign that is ongoing on that side. I think Honourable Member Tekhalo spoke about media. Let's make sure that we've got an even spread across the board. We are actually having a conversation with SABC at the moment for an overall suite over the entire radio station, the entire station, so that whenever we do something to make sure that it actually happens right across the board and everyone's got equal airtime, in order to make that happen from that perspective. I think with those words, I want to say thank you again. We are very encouraged. We want to continuously earn your support, your respect, and we can only do that by performing, by also being responsive to some of the things that have been brought over here. So we welcome and we thank you very much. And I don't know if Chairman has anything you want to say there.
Thank you very much, CEO. I think from my side, it's the sense of excitement in terms of what's being done around domestic tourism and the potential that we can do with that. But also, having not been active in the sector, some of the challenges around access and affordability still remain. And I think from a board perspective, those are some of the things that working with the executive to see and the department to see how best can the rest of, I mean, government. I think partnership is key in this work. And what is also encouraging is the enthusiasm and the support from the committee members. And I'm sure the CEO and the colleagues from the department will be able to take that back to the other people in the organization so that when our work is acknowledged and supported at this highest level, it makes everyone in the organization want to contribute and do their best to achieve those objectives. But Chair, as the CEO is saying, we don't take accounting to Parliament lightly, so hold our concerns to our toes and keep us focused as well so that we can do our work better. Thank you very much.
Thanks to you, the whole team. We value the exchange that we've been able to have with you. Just three quick comments. The one is we have provincial tourism councils. I don't know whether they have any plans for tourism month. It might be helpful if you could assess that, and if they have those plans to communicate, because we'll be in recess. We've agreed on the team going to your event in Eastern Cape, but then I become green with envy to say that I would have liked to go to something in Gauteng. I'm sure the Honourable Fab would like to go in something in Northern Cape as well. So if you have those, maybe the strategy would be to then talk to Pietra or Melanie to look at the possibility of putting it as an email to all members of Parliament, inviting us. That would be the one thing. The second thing is about the tour operator permits. We are busy now with the National Road Transport Bill. Yesterday, I had a number of people operating taxis saying the same thing that you're saying, that the waiting time to get permits is too long. Some of them are even waiting 2 years Now, by 2 years, you've changed your mind. So I'm with that type of background saying that maybe what the department would want to do is to engage with, if there is a body for the store operators, for them to look at that clause in the legislation. Thinking on my feet, I'm for example saying that if you are a tour operator and you apply for a permit and you have a letter from the Department of Tourism, it will speed up the processing of your application. Something like that. So that these people are important players in the economy. Let's look at how, because we're going to continuously have the problem with the permits unless we begin to advise creatively how the legislation can make it easier. The final point I wanted to mention is just to say that we are always open for further engagement if exciting things happen. We don't have to wait for committee meetings. You could raise it with us and in writing or through some other means, because I'm mindful of the fact that we're going to have a hectic schedule this day up until June next year. In this committee, there is fortunately no problem because we don't have so many departments reporting to us. So there is a possibility that we'll still see you before May next year. But for other entities, like in the Department of Trade and Industry, where we have 13 entities, it's impossible to see all of them in one financial year. So we want to thank you again. And we beg for your tolerance. We'd want to greet you when you leave. We just have another 2 minutes to spend with our official business, and then we will be through. Honorable members, the minutes of our last meeting, which was the meeting of the 15th of August, where we had a briefing by the NRCS. There's the minutes before us. Mm-hmm. Can we hear if there's any amendments to the minutes? Or are we accepting it as it is?
Yes, Chair. Chair, I move for the adoption of these minutes. I've gone through them as they were emailed. I think they are indeed a true reflection of the meeting as dated 15 August.
Thank you very much. You have a correction? On page one, yeah? Yeah? So it's JM. Okay. Would you mind if we leave it for this minute like that and change it in the future? Thank you. Seconded. That's accepted. Quebec has signed that one. Honourable members, just the final thing then about our meeting for next week. The Department of International Relations and Cooperation reverted to us to say that they are still working on that document that they were supposed to present to us next week. And the procedure is also that they need to present it to the minister, then it has to go to the cabinet. Am I right, Levi? Oh, I'm confusing it here. It has to go to the minister. So they will still come next week, but what we've asked them to do is to consider then talking to us about what they are doing as international relations on Agenda 2063. Because this afternoon I will be presenting in the House the adoption of the TFTA, the Tripartite Free Trade Area Agreement. So I thought it would link into that. So that being said, I don't think we have a problem. I just thought it's important that we inform you, because we wouldn't be in time to have it. We may not be in time to have it changed on the. We will. Okay. We will have the time to change it on the communication of Parliament. Honourable members, thank you very much for your time. We are adjourned.
Oh, da kann ich nicht vorgesehen.
Ja? Nein, das Bier darf nicht alles.
Okay.
Danke.
Also, am Zug an der Foto reingeschaut für euch.
Ja, sie ist bei ihr professionell. In aller Wurzeln alles. Ich kann alle Menschen was auch. Nein, ich bin nicht alle wirklich gekommen.